all the soldiers are inside. Okay? Because I think when the department decides, what they want to do is to carry over the money that was given for those budgets to the appointment of the board. They also want to get into a process of dissolving or disestablishing certain entities. And where they would be taking some of those people up across. Like the names that they've given, they've taken, I think, about a few names that are already within the establishment to be deployed to TIA. So TIA is like quite a threat. And you'll recall that it's done in consultation with Parliament. You recall that they were saying that it's unconstitutional, and we gave them a very long story. We said that step by step, this is how you're going to do it. So they gave up. The other one was that close to the other one in conversation. So the battle is not lost. The deep of communism.
Not very deep.
Yeah. Ain't that the mono?
Shabam Gujan.
Shabam Gujan.
I am here.
And the second thing is that the other one is not published yet. Fanta. Okay? I'm sure they will do that at a later date. Now, the message that will be given to the department if we are all together here is that they must do these things procedurally correctly. Write a letter to Parliament and the Speaker about this process so that this matter must be formally referred to the committee and then we take a decision from them. In between this time, comrades will reflect on this name, reflect on you've got the right to ask for the full CV if you want a full CV of any of the kingdoms. Okay? And then we can take it from there. The theory is our FTM. I'm sure I don't know whether you've seen all the documents that you've had there. But you also give them to you. Look at them as well. The only thing that I was worried about, and thanks for your legal director. the only thing that is lacking in the process is that the department gave all these things. You know, we gave them a lot of work, so we are still preoccupied. We still preoccupy their minds as those committees that need to make a decision. They forgot one simple matter of procedure to refer the matter to Parliament for us. So they sent things to us directly. We want to hope that we'll just do that. So that's just a procedural matter that we're going to advise them formally to write to the Speaker what all this, and then we can take it from there. It gives us a chance to reflect properly, those who only saw the documents today. And also, we will find a day before Parliament rises, or before that. It's not going to be dissolved at all. So we'll find some time just to come back and do something, one less, during this election campaign.
Are
you welcome.
We just started.
No, I'm just giving you some background, we haven't started yet. We can't start without you, Mr.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Isn't it a bit hot in here?
No, it's hot outside.
Forgive me.
No problem. And then the...
Come sit here.
Oh, my name is... So, why don't you want Mr. Blanchy to sit next to that beauty alone? I want you to sit next to
me. Give me balance. Otherwise, we have to get balance.
All right, No.
What temperature? 116.
16.
Say 16 now.
1 interview that I'm just waiting for tending courses to arrive, which is in the next 3 months, and then we can get down to the business of today. There's going to be a very short meeting. We just want to deal with 2 matters that I will brief you about. One is about the 2 acts that are in front of us. The second one is for members. We want you to approve the previous minutes and the reports. We have gone into a process of correcting them already, so we'll come back to you on that one. And then we can go home. So just gear yourself up for the next, in the next 2-5 minutes, we will be starting. That's it. I think now we can get going. Welcome and compliments of the new year. I hope that particularly members who are working very hard in their respective elections campaign will also make time to rest in the process. And all the people who have supported us throughout the session of this parliament, the Department of Science and Technology, Dr. Mehlomakulu, welcome, and your team. Nuru, Aziza, Rene in the corner. This gentleman who looks so shy, I haven't checked where he comes from.
PMG.
PMG.
Yes.
Welcome, sir.
Okay.
All right. You look shy and handsome. All right. Usrifi, thank you very much for your presence and your continued support. I think we must commend Tembi as well for his insistence and hard work. You see, I told him last year that he came to me several times to say, "Chair, how about this? I said, "Pay him for it." No, we're tired now, man. Leave all these things for the next parliament. You see, and I think he got it right to get us to this first meeting of the year, in this new year. I was hoping that it was going to be our last meeting, but it looks like we might have to get another meeting before our job finishes here. I was reliably informed this morning that Parliament is not going to dissolve. Yeah, which means our job expires here on the 14th of April, just a week before the election. So the President is not going to dissolve Parliament. What that means is that when there are matters that need our attention, we'll just have to get members back for a day or so just to finalize some of the things. But after Thursday, please leave us to go and campaign. It's nice out there. The Northern Cape is just very hot. You see, Cape Town is hot today, but it's like this in the Northern Cape every day. You see? And you go to a place called Upington. So, no wonder, you know, that you see those people in the Northern Cape, well, as Biaslam. You see, because, you know, the heat is, you know, working on these hairs and everything is excellent. Welcome, Mr. Mokka. Just before we get into the other business, I received a letter here that tells us that at least for this, before, up until, for this financial year, we don't have any more funds left to be able to treat you to lunch and muffins and other stuff. So you'll have to make do with what you have at the bank. Yeah, so I don't know. I do know that at some point we had to donate 300,000 from our committee. Don't donate, it was taken, you know, without our approval and our authorization. No, it was just taken. It was given to the Scorpions. That committee that dissolved the Scorpions, you see, to do public hearings and so on. So that's fine. We're not complaining. And secondly, that I was hoping that most of the issues that are outstanding, if you look into the reports and the minutes, you see that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in the committee. But obviously that will be, have to wait for the next parliament. We'll just do what we have to do now. The minutes and the reports that we are also expected to approve today, I don't know if members brought their minutes, but the last time we spent the whole session just correcting the minutes. I can just assure you that except for the reports, the minutes that we sent out for corrections were corrected accordingly. And I will be calling upon members to just approve those matters before we get to the other business of the day. I've got a list of minutes, the minutes of the 6th of May that we need to approve. I think members do have copies of those minutes. I've got both the one here that we were doing corrections about and the corrected version. So can I get approval on the minutes of the committee? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, committee. And then we've got the 3rd of June. I can also assure you that I've got the ones that we are correcting in the corrected version. Can I get the mover to Beatrice? Thank you very much. Approval? Second up? Committee NC. Walala wasan. Walala wasan. Walala wasan. Okay. On the 4th of June, I've got both the ones that we spoke up to and the corrected version. A mover and a seconder? Second, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now we can go to the 10th of June. Same process. I've got both the ones that we corrected and the corrected version. Can we get approval for the 10th of June? Approved is Beatrice. Mokka, you were there. You must just say approved. Thank you very much. The 17th of June, there were no corrections. So they were basically, there was just one small matter that I think grammatical that we corrected. But other than that, in terms of content, no, I'm just saying, in terms of what we had, just to remind you that it was just a typo that was corrected and it was duly corrected. Can you have approval for the shoot? Yeah. 17th of June, can I get a mover and a seconder? Comrade Ensley and Comrade Noble. Thanks. And then we go to the 24th of June.
Yeah.
24th of June, we're all there. Mr. Blanchet was not there. No, you can't say approve. You are not there on the 24th.
I was just going to tell you I wasn't there.
No? They'll call. It's a low call. Okay. Comrade Ensley, thank you very much for your seconding. 29th of July. 29th of July, I don't think we had any corrections. No, they were sharp. Can I get a mover and a seconder for 29th? Baba, thank you very much. Seconder? Aye. Seconder. Thank you, Sisbi. And then the 1st of August. Yeah, they were duly corrected as well. Is Novo? Beatrice? Comrade Prof, can you get a seconder?
Go.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Comrade Prof. The one of the 12th of August.
Mokel was there.
Mokel?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Comrade Ensley proposes.
Novo.
And Novo second. Comrades, what we did not do on that day was to go through the report and the two reports of the joint public hearing and the report on the budget. So I'm not sure whether I can give you a chance to do that, or can I ask you to approve them, or have you gone through them? I just want to check your feeling on it. Except for paragraph 2 on the draft report, which has gone into the report, the one talks about the apex priority and the business unusual stuff. Everything else is fine. If you just take out paragraph 2, then to me, I would say members must approve. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Can we also do the report of the public hearing, which was very straightforward? Can we get an approval on that? Thank you very much. You see? Now my work is here. Welcome, Corinne Valoni. Yeah. We've just approved all the minutes and all the outstanding reports. And Tembi is going to sleep like a baby tonight. Just give me those things that I need to sign if I need to sign anything else. Now can you come to the next business that is in front of us? The next business in front of us, comrades and colleagues, are two matters. The one matter is that the SANSA bill became an act in December. On the 15th of December, the President assented to the South African National Space Agency Act of 2008. What that means is that the department will just have to give us a briefing in terms of what is their process of rolling out the implementation of this. This is going to be a very short briefing, I suppose, because we were not expected at the stage to do anything from the department. And then on the 24th of November, the Technology Innovation Agency Act was assented to also by the President. That is the one that the department gave us information about in terms of their process of publishing in December and January, the panel, the short list, and so on. I've gone through some of the documents given to us here, and so on. So we'll just take that from the department, Dr. Metomakulu, as you introduce your team and take over after I've just said what I'm saying. We were also given, because the minister did call me to just raise that you wanted to deal with some of the matters. Now, because there are two processes here in terms of the two acts vis-à-vis the appointment of God. You recall that Tia or Santa was sent back to her, and we elaborated the process of appointment, and the department then gave in their fight for the consultative process. So Tia came back, was in consultation. Viva, portfolio committee, viva. So we gave you some legal opinion that says, so you can do it this way. So if Refilio, you want, just wanted to say something on it, I'll give you a chance as well, so that if members want to have questions on the issues, we can go through it. We were also given some sort of the names that the department is recommending, with some sort of background. I've said to members, if they need at some stage, because we have a chance to digest this further, if they want full CVs, they can always ask for it. But you're not just going to give CVs. If you need a CV of a certain person just to engage, we can just talk to Tembin Kosi to make arrangements where they need to do that. But I see Dr. Sister Aleta has already given us the CV. You know Sister Aleta? Mampela Rampe. Okay. So that is the process as it is in front of us here. I did raise earlier with the department that we can't take any decision today on these matters because of two reasons. One, I think members will need more time also to just digest the issues, but also it's a procedural matter. I think there was an oversight on your part to just refer this matter to Parliament properly. What the minister does, what all the information, the background, just write a covering letter to the speaker. You've done this before. To deal with this matter, and then they will table these processes formally, and I give an undertaking that after receiving that, we can just convene a meeting, call members back from the campaign to just come and deal with this matter so that it's out of your head. Dr. Nesemukuru, can I just give you the opportunity to introduce your team and take us through what you have put into this process?
Thank you, Chair. And good morning, honorable members. It's the first time we see you in 2009, and we'd like to wish you all the best for 2009. I would like to introduce the team. You all know Veli Mbele, who's our parliamentary officer. Nozipho Buthelezi, who's the general manager responsible for governance issues in the department. And I'm Boni Mehlomakhulu, I'm the deputy director general responsible for research, development and innovation. We've collectively been asked by the minister and the DG to come and brief the portfolio committee on the processes for constituting the board of directors for the Technology Innovation Agency. But since the chair and the agenda is also touching on the Space Agency Act, I will start with just a short briefing on what we're busy with respect to the establishment of the Space Agency. As the chair has mentioned, the Act was assented to by the president in December, and we then went through a process of starting extensively to engage National Treasury on the business case. The establishment of the Space Agency, as opposed to the TIA, is a greenfield activity for the department. Although we're going to be pulling some existing infrastructure into the Space Agency, but this is a new agency, and we didn't have many agencies like we did with TIA for the Space Agency. And we felt it was important that we very clear on the requirements for the board and the shareholder compact that we're going to be signing with that board. So we're still doing the work on the business case in consultation with National Treasury, And we thought that it's important that we finalize that process so we get to a stage where National Treasury starts to accept what's in the business case and they start engaging us on issues related to governance before we send out a call for nominations for the board. So that process is still being run internally. We haven't advertised for the nominations of the board, but we're still hoping that during the course of the financial year 2009-2010, we will be able to appoint the board and the CEO for the agency and get the agency off the ground. But I think the concerns within National Treasury is that this is something totally new that we're doing in the system, and they want some assurance in terms of the business case that we're putting forward to them. And those are the processes that are in place. If there are no questions on the Space Agency, I'll move to the issue of the Technology Innovation Agency.
Let me just check. Are there any? This to me looks very straightforward. Are there any questions? Baba Nunalo, Baba Moka.
The question is that when this process will come to an end, or will be in the process forever?
Okay.
Meine Gruppe related to timing and procedure because meine Gruppe related to timing and procedure. The business case or the business plan for the Space Agency as an example, and perhaps for TIA as well, shouldn't that precede any appointment process being initiated? And the question why I ask that is the business plan, the business case may require that board members have a particular skill that they could add value. Just hypothetically, if we are in the business case or business plan saying that we want to have a launch capability other than developing satellites, perhaps we would then consider people being appointed to the board who have a knowledge, some knowledge of launching rockets that would put satellites in orbit. Or if we're not going to pursue a launch capability, that we then have applicants who are all people with skills in the area of launch capability that we don't require. So I'm asking more about the timing and procedure and the content of the business plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. A follow-up to what Comrade Numalo said, a process around Space Agency and Treasury. When this was introduced to us, there were talks between DST and Treasury. Up to date, there is no response from Treasury. If not, do you have an idea?
Doctor?
Thank you, Chair. The discussions with National Treasury started at the beginning of the year, last year, 2008, January, and we presented them with a business case for both TIA and the Space Agency. And they will give us comments, and they will say, your risk analysis is not adequate, we suggest you look at this, and we go back and we do that, and then they look at another section, and then they say, your financial projections are not accurate. We suggest that you look at retaining some equity in your investments so that you can fund your ongoing activities or be sustainable in future. And we go further and we look at that and we go back to them and we say that's not going to be possible because this is what we're trying to do with the Space Agency. And we engage them on the 3A, 3B scheduling of the entity, and they will advise and say in the first 5 years we can give you exemptions or we can't give you exemptions, or go back and study what exemptions you would want. So there's been that engagement that has helped us strengthen the business case both for TIA and the Space Agency. Now that the TIA business case has been submitted to the minister and the DG and the officials, and we've come to an understanding that what's in there is acceptable to them. they will then write a submission to their minister for the scheduling of the entity. On the space agency, though, they still have issues around risks and around activities of the agency, and that's why we've held back on the appointment of that board, because we would want, as Mr. Mokolo is saying, we would want to be very clear about the framework within which the space agency is going to operate before we appoint the board, because the board members have to assist the department and government to meet the objectives of the agency as agreed in the business case. So we think that it's important that we reach a stage with National Treasury where the issues around that framework of operation is acceptable to them, and then we can start appointing the board members and actually having a description of what that board is supposed to look like that is in line with the business case of the agency. So those are the processes that we are aligning at this stage. We're hoping that in March we're ready with the ADVEC, we're hoping that in March we can then get to that stage with National Treasury where they say in terms of the framework they are happy, and then we can send out the call for proposals. Chair, we're hoping that the appointment of the board will happen around June, and that the CEO can then take office around September, and we can start migrating the SEC within the CSIR. The minister and the board of the CSIR have agreed on that migration, and we at this stage busy with the acquisition of Holtec, the facility in Kabo that is with Danel, and we're in negotiations with Danel, and we're just waiting for the space agency to get a legal persona so that we can then make that transfer directly to the space agency. The CSIR is assisting us because they're hosting the interim office of the space agency in looking at the issues of the acquisition of Holtec and the migration of the entities that need to migrate to the space agency. So those are the rough timelines at this stage. Chief.
The issue of the launch capability is something that we're engaging.
Yes, I remember when we were doing the public consultations that came as a question. In terms of government, because the strategy that we have is user focused as a strategy, and in terms of the needs of the users at this stage, there is no launch capability that is needed. We're going to have partner countries that are going to assist us with the launching capabilities. But as you know, one company came here to give a presentation, and they're developing that capability. And we're thinking we can deal with that issue of launch capabilities when that capability is needed. At this stage, we would like to build the missions that are addressing some of the socioeconomic issues that we have as a country, earth observation, environmental issues, and issues of agriculture, of mineral resources, and issues of climate and global change. And those are the focus areas. The launch capability issue is an issue that we've left out of the framework at this stage. And when the private sector is ready with those capabilities, I think we can then engage with that issue. But in terms of the government and government entities' need for space capabilities, that launch capability falls outside of that framework. And Chair, members will remember that the issue of the, and I don't know if I'm opening a can of worms, the use of the space capabilities for dual purposes is very much tied to the launch capabilities. And South Africa signed a treaty that we're not going to go into that space as part of the dismantling of our nuclear capabilities. And as a result, there will be a need for a more political discussion if we were to open the launch capability discussion, because it's very much linked to the nuclear weapons discussion.
Okay, yeah, the kind of world has been opened. I only refer to the launch capability as an example of one of the types of skill or areas of skill that may be required for the board that mirrors the business plan. But seeing that the kind of world has been opened, I look at the acquisition of Hotech as the acquisition of a facility that had been used for its launch capability in the past. And whether this present facility comes with that launch capability readiness is clearly not the case. It was part of the dismantling of the missiles that were there, reportedly, at the time. But should we require, in our business case, at a later stage or later draft of it, which agencies would we need to engage politically to revisit that particular decision not to have a launch capability at this point? I mean, is it the atomic, you know, non-proliferation, who is it? Because we may need to unstrap ourselves from that earlier than later.
My suggestion, I hear exactly what you're saying. My suggestion is that we're just wasting our appetite on this matter. At the time when the department is ready to present also to us the proper strategy of going forward, I think we should engage and so on.
Yeah.
But this matter should not be lost, so that the political discussion must also inform the way forward. I'm going to suggest that also we, in the handover to the next parliament, the minutes will reflect some of the issues that you're raising that needs to be taken forward. But particularly on this issue, I want the department also to get copies of the minutes of this committee vis-a-vis the space agency matter, and also TIA, and to go into the report, so that forms part of your first meeting when you meet with the next portfolio committee to say, listen, so that they will engage you. I'll give the new chair a private, if I'm not here. I'll tell him, listen, these are the issues that are outstanding and so on. So they will engage you. Fortunately or unfortunately, you just have to continue with what you started. But for instance, on the space agency, we have stressed the issue of skills. To say, how do we strengthen the GIPSA process, or the skills that are needed in this matter. We've also raised the question of the proper value chain of this landscape. You see, so that there is clear understanding of the ABCs that lead to whatever, you know, the manufacturing or eventual launching utilization. The question of the license fees came sharply to say, listen, we'll have to unpack this for us. You see, what were we paying for? Did we get value for money, for instance, for the money that we have paid and so on and so on? You are raising a very important matter of facilities. How tech, to give an example, but those are issues that some members don't know this place. That we said as part of our oversight, we need just to go there and talk through the issues that Comrade Mokel is raising or has raised already, and just to see how the facility is going to assist us. Has it been a white elephant? Is it security-wise, is it safe? Those type of matters that we need to look into. I'm sure in that meeting we'll have the CSIR also participate in this process as your transitional host and so on. I don't know, when are we launching Subandhi?
21st of March.
21st of March.
It's reported at the 21st of March. I wanted to ask whether that is for Jay, why are you with the store and schedule?
Have the Russians agreed or finally? Is it in place? Just answer yes or no. You don't have to.
it's complicated.
Okay, let's leave it. We'll talk about it later.
Yes.
Let's leave the complications. We're not here for complications. That's the new year. We're in the new year. One simple thing. The election campaign is complicated enough. So let's not complicate things further with gift card matters. I suggest, members, that we go to tea so that we're out of here by 11. Doctor.
Thank you, Chair. I'll move straight to Tia, and I'm happy to engage Mr. Moko on the dismantling of our capabilities and what that meant for the country in losing the peaceful use of those technologies, both nuclear and space. On Tia, Chair, we've been asked by the Minister and the DG to take you through the processes that the department has followed in the appointment of the TIA board of directors. In front of you, you have a list of 18 names, and that is a short list that our minister has approved. The first 10 names are names that he's proposing for the board, and the next 8 names are then, you know, the names of possible replacements should the other people fall through the cracks. We advertised in December in the Sowetan, the Star, Sunday Times, City Press, and the Mail and Guardian, and we actually got 87 nominations. And interestingly, it was all sorts of people from various sectors of the economy and in various parts of the value chain of the activities that we're looking for TIA to focus on. There was a big slant towards the academics, the academia coming to the fore. But interestingly, there was a lot of interest from business and people in the business sector coming forth. On this, the minister constituted a panel and chaired by our DG, Dr. Mjwaha. And on the 3rd of February, that panel sat and considered the 87 CVs. And we have the CVs here. We're going to keep them in Veli's office. If the members want to look through the actual cities, the list that we've come up with is a list of a balanced portfolio of expertise. In our advert, we had asked for people with the knowledge of technology innovation and intellectual property management, entrepreneurship, investment in technologies, and research and development. And we think that with these names, we've covered every part of that value chain, including issues related to governance and law. I'll just move straight to the names that we considered. And I don't know if the Chair, there are questions on the process so far. What we're busy with now is a cabinet memorandum that's going to go to cabinet with the names, and it's in the process of being finalized within the department, and we're hoping that, you know, next week that's going to go through the minister's office and then be ready for presentation to cabinet. I think I need to then explain a little bit about, you know, what we thought was important in this board. Members will remember that when we were motivating for the establishment of TIA, we presented a problem in moving research and development outputs to commercialization. And the assumption is that you already have the research pool in South Africa and that knowledge pool, but the problem is in moving that knowledge body to socioeconomic benefits for the country. And we're looking for a combination of skills that will assist us in moving that knowledge body to socioeconomic benefits. And the list that we've compiled, 1 to 10, and the number includes a possible chair that the minister will appoint, then covers that value chain in terms of the skills and the expertise. Just going quickly through the list, the first name on the list is Dr. Mamphele, and the second name is Cheryl Caloras, and Dr. Alan Lex, and Mr. Ross, and Dr. Stephen Cornelius, Mrs. Helen Brown, Professor Susan Harrison, Mr. Gordon Fenter, and Patrick Nguyenya, and the last one is Dr. Msomi. I just want to explain the dispensation. You see there are ring-fence names here that we saying in that block. They are board members of the existing entity. TI is a brownfields activity. We're consolidating existing entities and we're building new building blocks to enhance the ability of the system to translate R&D results to commercial products and services. The existing entities are operated as trusts and they all have boards. And most of the board members were nominated for the TIA board. The panel then decided to take the chairpersons of the boards just to bring continuity as we fold the entities into TIA. The first 4 years of the operation of the TIA will really be putting these entities together and making sure that they're able to work as one entity TIA. Obviously, the first year is a migration year, and going forward, we'll then be putting the new pieces. But we thought that it was important for continuity and to benefit from the institutional memory that the board members of these entities have to bring them along. So, starting from Dr. Stephen Cornelius, Mr. Ross Norton, Mr. Alan Lex, Helen Brown, Sue Harrison, these are all existing board members, and most of them are chairs of the boards of the existing entities that will be folded into TIA. They are mostly in the academic space and mostly researchers, and there is one lawyer and one social scientist. The Innovation Fund, you will know, does not have a board. It has an investment committee, and Dr. Patrick Nguyenya is the chair, deputy chair of the investment committee of the Innovation Fund. So we've tried to accommodate all the entities that will be folded into TIA just to bring that institutional memory and to keep the momentum and the activities going within TIA. For these entities and to get their buy-in in the processes of migrating the assets that should now belong to TIA and the employees that will now be moving into TIA. We then had added a few other names looking at the other parts of the value chain, and the consideration there was in entrepreneurship and investment and the business expertise. You'll see Mr. Gordon Fenter, who's the founder and the CEO of iTech, which is an IT company in South Africa, has been nominated as a business side a person in this team. And Dr. Nhlanhla Msomi and Ms. Cheryl Caloras, they're representing the entrepreneurs in this space. And Dr. Mamphele, one of the reasons we decided on TIA is because we are not able to leverage enough funding to fund commercialization of technologies in the system. And it was important that we link our activities with activities elsewhere in the world and bring external funding outside of national treasury or the fiscus into technology development, and in order for us to leverage the funding elsewhere in the system and outside of South Africa, we thought her experience will assist us in this regard. I can give more details on the people, but that's a summary of their expertise and what we think is going to be their contribution to the board. But when we looked at their expertise in totality, we were able to cover all aspects that we need for TIA. And there's a balance in demographics and gender. We have four women on this board, and two black and two white. And we also have a mix of white males and black males. I will stop there before I go deeper into the demographics.
White males does not sound controversial, but black males. I don't know whether it's got to do with blackmailing anybody. No, I think we must commend the department on the progress. We can see that you are a working department. You cannot slap me and you cannot chop me. Okay. You must keep it up. I see a lot of hands already. I just want to check two things. When it comes to the budget and business case, that this matter is under control. Can just tell us, give us some gist of that. And secondly, is any one of these people envisaged to be the CEO? Or is that matter decided already? Or is there thinking around it? I'm raising this because you gave us 10 names, and the Act requires not less than 6 and not more than 9. Members of the board. And I take it that, just to clarify, that in those 10, somebody will be the chief executive. I need that clarity. But before you maybe respond to this one quickly so that we just dispose of that. Then I'll take the names.
On the last one, Chair, the Act talked to a chairperson of the board, and not less than 6 and not more than 9. So we have 9 names plus a chair.
Oh. Okay. And the CEO?
The CEO, once the board is in place, the board will then run that process. The Act asks for the board to appoint the CEO of the entity, of the agency.
Okay.
On the
so it's the chair plus.
It is. It's the chair plus the members.
You left your sister there. Eh? She's right. Okay. I'm check with my legal guru.
Yes. And then on the budget, this year we have 740 million for TIA entities. But because we're going through this process of the establishment, we are approving the business plans of the entities, and the boards of the trust are still in place to see the delivery of the business plan. During the course of the year, once the board is in place and the CEO has been appointed and the business processes have been put in place, we'll start migrating the entities into TIA, and then the trust will be dissolved by the board of trustees. These budgets are sitting in various places. MTS has its own budget, BioPed, Life Lab, Innovation Fund, Chumisano, and the other activities within the DST, the Hydrogen Strategy, and the Advanced Manufacturing Strategy, the AMI, the Advanced Metals Initiative, the Health Innovation Activities, and the energy, the grand challenge, energy security grand challenge, all those activities will be folded into TIA, and the total budget is 740 million, and it will be migrated to TIA as the entity gets ready to then start running the processes. We've appealed to the existing board to please continue with the activities, because we don't want the establishment of TIA to cause any disturbances in terms of the running of the processes in the commercialization of technologies. So we're considering their business plans, and we're approving their business plans, and we want the board to stay in place until the entities and the staff and the assets have been migrated to TIA. So there's going to be a parallel process with TIA establishment and these boards starting to wind down their activities.
Time frame?
We were hoping...
Not time frames of establishment of the board, but in terms of consolidation.
It's all happening in this financial year, 2000 and the next financial year, 2009-2010. The limit we set ourselves for the migration of the entities is December 2009, that all the entities, all the staff members of the entities and their assets will be under TIA by then. And it all depends on the appointment of the board.
Can you address this?
Chair, we're building from a discarded system, and we have a central TIA office which is going to be a fund management body, and then the implementation is going to happen at the region. And so where you have Cape Bio in Cape Town, it's now going to become a TIA Western Cape office. And instead of focusing on biotechnology, it's going to focus on all the sectors that TIA is prioritizing. So the projects that were managed by the Innovation Fund in Cape Town are now going to be managed by the Western Cape office. So they need to build and recruit more staff in other sectors other than biotechnology. The same will happen in Durban. There is a lot of activities in the Eastern Cape, and we're thinking an office in Kuka is something we can motivate for right at the beginning as the board take over, that we establish an office there, because there's a lot of activity there. And all the TIA entities have to fly to the Eastern Cape to monitor the project, and then an office there will do a cost-saving analysis to see if in establishing an office and putting people there is going to make sense financially. And the Gauteng office is going to remain a Gauteng TIA office, but the national fund management office is going to be outside of that, and it's going to be a standalone. So if you're looking at all the activities and how much money these entities spend outsourcing due diligence capabilities, technical, financial, marketing, and IT skills, TIA, we want to have that internally so that we can maximize on the value of due diligence internally within the organization. So as far as we can see, we can't afford to lose any of the staff of the existing entities. Obviously, in the admin activities, you probably will have more staff, because each CEO of a BRIC has a secretary, a communications person, and you might need to then find a mechanism to share those activities within the various organizations, people moving to Cape Town, others moving to Durban. But the core activities, we need to build on those, and we need more people to look at the due diligence that is needed to fund the project. The organization is going to grow. You know, that we have about 110 staff members. The structure that we have is talking to about 230 staff members to meet the business of the organization.
Thank you very much. It's a massive operation. Good luck. You might have to give the next committee your program of action that takes you to December. You see, I've got the names here: Mr. Ngobo, Mr. Ensley, Mr. Ngumalo, Mr. Blanche, Mokel, Professor, I don't know where they want to speak, Ms. Maloney and Slau, if you want to speak, you must indicate to me so that I put you on the list. In that order.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. The issue of budget you had addressed, I had it here. I see that you'll be also looking for people with IP skills, so it means you're already beginning to address the intellectual property rights skill. Yes, much as you say, you've got a gender balance. I was looking at 18 and 4, looking at 10 and 3, then saying you still have a lot to do to promote more women scientists from DST and academia. Thank you.
X is normal, but it's actually 4 out of 10. Eh? Okay. They just showed one process. So we must commend them, but they must do more. Okay.
It's 5 out of 10. 1, 2, 3. The first one is not necessarily 10.
You've got Dr. Rampele.
Yeah.
You've got Cheryl. You've got Helen Brown. Susan Harrison. Susan must be a woman.
Yes.
It's Sue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The others, you know, these titles of doctors, they sometimes obscure the gender composition of the candidate. Yeah, no, we can still do more. But so far, so good. Thank you very much. Comrade Ensley.
Chair, just briefly, I think you're quite right. To commend this committee on the work it's done to ensure that Parliament has a role to play in the appointment of these boards. We must remember we faced a very intransigent department for a long time, Chair, well over, even before you became Chair, under our former Chair, Comrade Ngabeng Mobile, a very intransigent department. The debates initially were around participation after participation, consultation with, consultation after. Then we even received a copy of a bill which excluded Parliament altogether. It was going to be just the Cabinet. So really, Chair, I think we need to commend ourselves, and I think we should be drinking champagne today, not fruit juice. I just have one or two questions regarding the process. Because as we go forward, I think, to appoint, as the new committee appoints, oversees the appointment of boards from the next parliament, we need to really understand the process. And you indicated that the DG was chairperson of the advisory panel. Can you give an indication of who else is on this panel? And also, did you simply put out adverts to get responses and nominations from people to the board, or did you actually interview people? And also, I'm a bit disappointed also in the gender balance. Of the total of the 18 people you've presented here, only 5 are women. And I'm wondering what you did or what can be done in the future to ensure a greater response from women scientists and women entrepreneurs and so on. Then the other question with regard to the process, you indicated that a list is going to the Cabinet for approval. I think I may have misunderstood you. What list is that? Because I don't think this committee has yet formally, this is an informal discussion. We have not been formally notified by Parliament yet that we ought to deliberate on this list and decide on these names. So I'm not too sure if I heard you correctly, you may be jumping the gun. I think surely we must first deliberate at Parliament before anything goes to Cabinet. I think you also indicated earlier on that you said he wants to appoint these 10 people, but he can't, and I'm assuming he is the minister. He can't, again, for the same reason, because we must first deliberate, and we haven't done so. Then the other process question is, you've indicated that 5 people are members of existing boards, 6 if you include Dr. Patrick Ngwenya. Now, have you done an assessment of activities of those existing board members on the boards they've been sitting on? Are they in fact suitable in terms of their attendance at board meetings, their participation in board meetings, on the boards that they currently sit on? Because our experience in the past has been that board members have been very disappointing, existing board members, in their participation on boards and attendance and so on. Chair, I think those are the main questions that I wanted to ask at this stage.
Thanks for being Ensley. I'm sure there's just a parting shot to show you what's coming. Eh? I'm going to take the one Numale, but just before that, let me just clarify one point. Normally what they would do, the minister would do before they take matters to Parliament, they would confer with Cabinet. So it's not flawed to take it to Cabinet before, it's like a bug.
that goes to cabinet before it goes. So it's not improper in that context only. But after that, it comes to us, you see. So that one is not a problem. At least it's not in the context of cabinet shall approve. No. Like they were trying to exclude us. I think this time is just really to touch base. I suspect, but the doctor will have to respond. One more.
No, thank you, Chair. I was on the same point. I was so worried. That the memorandum has been prepared and going to cabinet. And then I was asking myself what the department is expecting of this committee, but that has been covered. And my second point was on the TIA and the employment or retrenchment. So they've covered. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Let me do that before I take the other three names. I'll check the others if they want to speak. Can we respond to this so that we don't overcrowd your... Okay.
Thank you, Chair. We struggled with the females. And Nozipo was closer to the process. We had to headhunt to get the names of the nominations of the female in the ratio that you see. So it was a real struggle, and it's a litmus of the problems that the National System of Innovation has in terms of the representativity of women in the system, and it's an ongoing challenge. But we tried our best to give a balance. But we also try to make sure that the women that make it to this list are women that are going to represent and really talk to the issues. And just looking at the balance in terms of the experience, personally I was very comfortable with the caliber of the women that we got in this list. On the suitability of the five or six people, they are mostly chairs of these boards, and their attendance has been good, their leadership has been good. DST is establishing TIA as an intervention in the system that is going to take the country into another level in terms of innovation. And we will not burden the entity with board members that are not taking their responsibilities seriously. Most of these boards were not remunerated. They were doing the work because they really believed in driving the commercialization of R&D outputs, and they've done really, really well. Dr. Susan Harrison, the chairperson of Cape Biotech, was the women and the best, got the best award for the Women in Science in 2007. And she's an esteemed researcher, and she's done really well in taking the entity to a place where they are now. They leverage half their funding from external stakeholders, and she's been able to do that from the start when she was appointed back in 2003. Helen Brown, even though she is not a chairperson of the board, strangely, this board is chaired by a DDG from DSD, Ms. Marjorie Pius. But we then engaged the CEO of the entity, and he reckoned in the members of the board, she's made the best contribution, and they recommended that she'll be the one that takes the interest of Chumisano like entity forward within TIA. Dr. Stephen Cornelius is the chairperson of BioPed. and he is at the moment the head of Department of Agriculture in the Gauteng Department, and he's also an esteemed researcher and manager in the system, and he's done very well within BioPet. Ross Norton is a chairperson of LifeLab in Durban. He's also an esteemed researcher. Alan Lex is a lawyer, and he was also from the beginning the person that helped establish Plant Bio, and he's really helped to shape the organization. Obviously, these were started from just one-person entities, and they now have a staff complement of 23 to 30, and they have helped that process to build the entities. I think what's important is that we would like a smooth transition to TIA, and we like these people to assist in that smooth transition. We also want the ownership from them in the activities of TIA. There mustn't be an us, the entities, and the TIA mentality. They must see themselves as part of one, and we really would like to see the continuity of the activities, so that we, you know, things don't slow down before they pick up, that we just move smoothly to a tier operation. And we think their buy-in into that process, migration process, is something that's very important. The panel members, the minister appointed the DG as the chairperson, and in the migration activities, we had to do an as-is analysis as part of the business case, where we went into the entities to look at their assets, the investments that they've made, the staff that they have, and what salaries do they pay, in order for us to pitch the business case at a certain level for National Treasury. And in doing that, we were helped by the CSIR. As you know, they used to have the Inventors Act. They used to be in charge of that, so they assisted us with that assessment. And the two executives from the CSIR, Dr. Thulani Dlamini and Dr. Hofi Marais, were a part of the panel. I joined the DG as a DST person, and we had Mr. Sipho Zikode, who's the acting DDG from the DTI, and our governance section was the secretariat for the panel discussion.
The panel must also have a gender balance going forward. Just always remind them to say, listen, it is a struggle, my dear, that we have to fight and win, okay? Until such time that society accepts that the ASU is correct in their 50-50 policy, okay? Now, is that a follow-up? Okay. I wanted to. Okay, just go ahead.
Did you interview people or just go on the basis of their CVs?
Yes, on the level, we didn't interview people. We looked at their CVs, and most of us have had experiences with the five members. And the other five people are people that are known in the system, but we didn't interview them. So the answer is no.
Okay. Do they know that you've recommended them?
Hope not.
No. For your purposes, it might be important to start engaging them, so that by the time this matter comes to Parliament, obviously they, by submitting their names, they were indicating their willingness and availability. But we shouldn't just take it at face value. That's a suggestion that I'm making. It's important to engage them, or at some point to have some sort of a meeting with a few of them, all of them, to give them the appreciation of the work lying forward. Some people, we respond to others, but when we are confronted with the magnitude of the task, in front of us, then it might be somebody saying that I might not have the time to do this. So we don't want to come back again and so on and backward and forward and say, we are approving these names, and then after that, we say, can we approve the other one? It's important, you must cover that ground as we go forward as well. I've got Mr. Blanchet, Mr. Mokel, Sisi? That is Lau, Ushab. Prof? Okay, those are the last two.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I do certainly agree with you that we must rather engage with people. Because if I look at the names here, we are just, again, prominent faces seems to be placed onto our boards. An organization like that of Mr. Craig Venter has got people in it that knows far more about innovation than what Craig Venter would know. And for that reason, to me, it's important to get that person on such a board, and not just Craig Venter. Craig Venter is going to say, no, I'm too busy. And in the economic meltdown that the world is now in, you will find that such prominent people will say, I haven't got time to now address that. I've got major problems within my organization. Let's fix that. And that to me is still something that is wrong in the process, Mr. Chair. The other thing that I would have wanted to see is, have we gone out to the various institutions and organizations in South Africa, like agriculture, like the process industry. Sasol is one of South Africa's biggest process industries. And surely there must have been other people within those organizations in the process industries who could come forward, because I'm sure there's a lot of innovators. Mark Shuttleworth, in the communications and other industries, there are these people that I would really want to see on such board, and not just the prominent names like, for instance, Dr. Stephen Cornelius. If I look at his CV, he's a Master of Science, etc. He's done some business administration, etc. But is he an innovator? I doubt it. And therefore, those are the kind of names that I would have loved to see. Even Cheryl Carolla, a wonderful lady. And there's the other thing that I have with this, Mr. Chairman. I think we must now start outgrowing the balances that bugged us 10 years ago, that bugged us for the last 10 years. Let's look at qualified people and competent people to serve on our boards and start using them. I think we as the Science and Technology Committee for Parliament for the nation have now seen that most of the people with competence has come forward, and those are the people that will South Africa will benefit from if they serve on boards of this nature. Thank you, sir.
Chair, thank you. Just some basic questions, Chair. I assume that the issues raised on what would be qualifying criteria and disqualifying criteria for board membership has been part of the process thus far in an external assessment of the individuals that have been named and engaged as they are right now, and that part of that process would perhaps have included some sort of conflict of interest analysis, how many boards they already serve on, to establish that they might not have the time to serve on this particular one. Things like the basic probity checks, I would assume, would be part of the process. It's a confirmation of that. We wouldn't want a situation where someone's appointed and afterwards we discover that there's certain things we didn't know about them, that we assumed because we knew them for such a long time. We assumed we knew that about them, everything about them. Then lastly, Chair, the skills, the balance of competencies and skills, in particular the skilled areas highlighted in Section 5, subsection 5 in the Act, makes it very clear: technological innovation, technological management, intellectual property, and commercialization thereof, and business skills. Now, if one unpacks those attributes the areas of knowledge and experience that would be required. Do some of these individuals, like you mentioned at the beginning, represent broadly than the academy and broadly business, or do they have, without the benefit of having seen their CVs in detail, have within the technology innovation, technology management criteria, for example, do you have scientists, technologists, and engineers, because they bring different skills, although three similar areas of activity. Are there in the intellectual property area IP lawyers in particular, or legal experience in intellectual property law? And then lastly, is there anyone amongst those who has a venture capital background? Because this is one of the issues that I remember was raised when we discussed here, that it would take almost a venture capital approach, and that this could be seen in some way as attracting venture capital funds to invest in TIA in itself. And therefore, when you mentioned, it's not a remark about Cheryl Carolus, but because you mentioned her in that context, to attract funders to the fund, I would assume she would be needing to attract venture capital to the fund. And I'm not sure that Cheryl Carolus, or anybody else, in fact, has a venture capital experience. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We insisted on an acceptance form from the members that were nominated, and we got that, but I think we take the point that, you know, some people might see, you know, an advert and even when the teacher engages them, there isn't the depth in that discussion that helps them to understand and appreciate the task ahead. And I think the migration of these entities is something that is going to be a headache. And the board members have to be, you know, sure about the journey that they're going to travel over the next 12 months. And so we take the point, we're going to take that back. As a suggestion, we did not do any clearance at this stage, so it's just, you know, we're presenting the names for consideration. We haven't done any in-depth analysis, but we did look at the spread of the knowledge and the experience. We also did look at their present commitment, and we took that into consideration. The issue of the spread, we have a group that is sitting more in the business area, and Fenter is at the extreme industrial activities, but he started as an entrepreneur, as an innovator, and he established that business here in South Africa, the Altec business here in South Africa.
His father, he had nothing to do with establishing.
But the business was started in South Africa, and it's not like a CEO that gets hired by Sasol to come and run an operation that is already running without the appreciation of what it took as an innovator. So that's the experience as a large business that is ongoing, but with the appreciation of the journey that it took to build that business. If it was the father, he will still have the appreciation of that journey, I think, as a son of that entrepreneur. Before you get to the large business, you have entrepreneurs, and we see Cheryl as an entrepreneur in that space, and understanding the difficulties in financing of the entrepreneurial activities, and the kind of nurturing that is needed in order for a small business to then get into a break-even point and profit-making entity. And Ntantam Somi and Cheryl Kalora sit in that space.
Now, in terms of the funding, which is a top layer, you need, obviously, the venture capitalists to come closer to a tier and ITC to come closer to a tier and hold hands with a tier to make sure that there's continuity in the funding. And Patrick Ngwenya is working for a venture capital company. And Dr. Rampele Rampele is the chairman of the Capital Ventures, which is also a funding, kind of a venture capital funding activity. And those were the introduction and the context that I gave was before I introduced her as the person we're hoping can bring the funding mechanisms of the World Bank and the funders like the Bill Gates Foundation and others into a tier activities, because we're not only looking for, you know, businesses that are going to make profit, but there's also in innovation a social impact dimension, activities that will not necessarily be funded to make profit, but they're funded because they make a difference in people's lives. And we made an example of an eye, an artificial eye. The technology is given to government hospitals and at a discount, and so that business is not making money, but it's sustainable because you know the other activities of the business are funded because of that social impact. So you need philanthropic funders to fund that social impact activity, and we're hoping that we'll be able to have a board that can go out and raise funding for TIA and build those partnerships for TIA. In terms of the technical skills, we do have scientists, and Cornelius is one of them, and Notin is a scientist, Sue Harrison is a chemical engineer in bioprospecting, and Helen Brown is a social scientist. So we've looked at this at that spread as well. The lawyers, they are lawyers, they are not IP lawyers. You know, alongside TIA, we're establishing a national IP management office, and they're going to have a regulatory responsibility, but they also will have to give, they have a responsibility to build capacity for the system to start to appreciate intellectual property and the management of intellectual property. So within the board, the lawyers, the two lawyers that are there are lawyers, but they're not IP lawyers. They don't have an IP specialty. But within the organization, in terms of the due diligence, you will have a group of people that understand IP so that when they get out and do a due diligence on a project, they can ask questions around the IP arrangements, the licenses, and do IP scan for technologies that are developed elsewhere in the world that are similar to that technology. So internally within the organization, you are going to have that capacity. Chair, I think I've covered most, but in terms of the process engineers within Sasol, I think at the board level, you actually looking for decision makers, and we're looking at people that are going to assist the organization to establish the relationships and actually build more of the Sasols in the country from technological innovation. And the response, the 87 CVs that were received, most of these people are good people. And you can have any configuration, you will find good people. And it's this a balance between making sure that you're able to cover the parts of the value chain and the other balances that you have to cater for. But we really got good candidates for TIA. There was a lot of excitement in the system. There are vice chancellors, there are, you know, head of department, there are CEOs. I've never seen so many CEOs coming out of Woodworth. There are many CEOs in these entities, but we went for the special skill and the history of a person having played a role in the system. I can't go into the details of whether people have innovated in the lab at Sasol when they were working for Sasol, but I think it's just the people taking that skill and then driving an entity to a certain level using that skill. I made an example of Sue Harrison, who's a researcher at UCT, and she was appointed the chair of Cape Biotech. And she appreciates that because these briefs are funding as VCs, mini VCs. They take equity the same way the VCs, venture capital do, but they start earlier. And she's been able to lead in that space. She had no prior experience, but we have the benefit now with Tia to use the 4 years that she's been with Cape Biotech to say that she is able to look at issues of technological innovation and find opportunities that will yield benefits for South Africa out of these opportunities that look like an R&D experiment from a distance until you get closer to understanding the market, the dynamics, and you take a risk and you find that and it becomes successful. They just made $15 million this year out of a buyout of one of the companies that they had funded. And it's I think it's a CV that she's built under a technological innovation that, you know, if she was not appointed the chair of that of Cape Biotech as a researcher, she would not have been able to get an offer to South Africa.
No, I can see that you motivate your passion. that's a recipe for success, right? Prof, I wanted to come to the conclusion, but you raised your hand, and I can't ignore you.
Yeah, I've also tried to refrain from giving opinion, because maybe my opinion is very one-sided. You see, I've listened now to some of, may I say, the women that have been picked out to see, and various other people. Some of them got very prominent political activities, you see, but I've never seen some of them really as important scientists in any way. But maybe things have changed since the time I've known them. I don't want to pick out any particular people, but I find this, you see, I would never, I say they're fairly prominent in their political activities and what they've done and what they've been chosen for, but I've never seen them as technologists or scientists in any way. I'm not going to single out any numbers of people. And you're very prominent people there. There are people with no scientific experience whatsoever. That is just my point of view, you see. But I think you've made a good case for bringing those people in because it is more than wanting to have just scientists. And that is partly why I refrain from making a point of view before.
Thank you very much. You know what I like about this process is the sharpness that I see. Comrade Ving, I see what you were fighting for over the years, not to be excluded in such an important decision-making process for the development of our country. The department has got very good intentions, but I think they also benefit from the sharpness of your eagle's eye, Comrade Ensley, to be able to ask a very sharp and probing questions. Have you ever actually spoken to these people? Have you interviewed them? You see? Face value. And you could see how Dr. Madeleine Shokuli is retreating from that space. She was going full force when she asked, have you spoken to them? She retreated, and so on and so on. But that's a learning point, my dear. It's something that we just have to go forcefully. But I don't think also we should, we have not said anything about the people down the list, you see. We are not only given 10 names, we are given 18 names, with 10 recommended, you see. And the issues that Comrade Blanchet is raising about a certain gentleman there, and so on, to say that he's inherited some of these things, he's not an innovator. I don't think it's a matter where we say we shouldn't take it, but just to go more into these things and understand that it's not always a matter of like father, like son. You see? I understand that, like we are doing now, we can give our children our own names, but they are not us. You see, what we went through is not what they might have experienced. Just two matters from my side. I think we make a very good case. Okay, let me raise it this way. I think for your own sake, you might need to put to whoever you'll be confronted with in terms of your motivation for this combination. Not each individual, because once you say Cheryl Carolla, for instance, good policy, having been an ambassador, international, and a good mobilizer and an entrepreneur, you see, then you're already channeling her to say this is your role in this thing. Once you say Dr. Mampele, you know, World Bank, venture capital, blah, 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 already you are channeling her to say this is your role. They've got a collective role to play with different skills. So in your assessment, in your profiling of this board, it's important not to single individuals and so on, to say what we've looked at is the following. Bah, 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 bah. I think it will assist you a great deal just to go forward with what does matter. You know, where there's a gap, for instance, you're raising one important matter of, is it Ms. Helen Brown or Sue Harrison, one of them, but I think it's Helen Brown. Moving from innovation to commercialization of things, you see, at some stage you'll have to give us that appreciation to say out of this whole thing, these are the commercialized programs or projects that we have from this entity. Because what is lacking, the gap is between that and what is on the ground. You see, we want to see, this thing is very exciting, but it's going to be more exciting if society can start seeing the benefit of all these innovations that we have. Not only one day when I lose my eye, then I know that there is some, you know, want to, with both eyes, I want to see some of these things now. And the impact particularly that these make in the economy as a whole. You know, I've always been reluctant to talk about the first and the second economy, because my understanding of economics has always been to have one economy with its own dualities and so on that we have in South Africa. But other than that, the last point that comrades are raising and colleagues, the question of conflict of interest, that's a very highly sensitive area that people can appropriate for themselves and their businesses and their families. So it's important that matter just be upfront, taken with the people as you engage with them to say, you see, we use the taxpayers' money to expose you to all these, and these are the dangers, you see. So that people make informed decisions about the way they want to go. But from that, Rafilo, do you want to say anything before him? Are you sure? Legally, are we on the right track? Okay. Okay. Dr. Blush, you want to say something? I want to close now.
Mr. Chairman, yes. You know, I joined this committee to because I am a scientist, technologist, call me what you want. I developed a number of things that was first in South Africa. And that's what I would have loved to see on the board. Had one had the opportunity to say to the various institutions, the Institute of Mechanical, Civil, Electrical, Engineers, Architects, all these things, say, send us some people to put onto this board, then it wouldn't have had this political face. Now, unfortunately, it's got a political face. And the Department of Science and Technology should have steered clear from developing such a face. Again, we are, and that's why I said we should have moved beyond the equilibrium phase to say there must be so many women, because there's no handicapped people on here. There are no, we haven't divided between the various languages. How long are we going to carry on with the old South Africa? When are we going to come back into the new South Africa? And that's all I wanted to say. I would have thought, you know, even the processes, I mentioned process industry. Sasol is a process industry. Out of Sasol's process, there are so many new fields developed. The plastics industry has got a vast field of innovators. And that's where one should also get the people from. It's time we stop
putting politicians into positions and start giving the innovators, the new South Africa, a chance to become part of building the South Africa. And if we are going to face, as I said, the economic meltdown that the world is in, we're going to face serious times. And then our playing politics continuously should have stopped, because we should look at what is happening, what is going to happen in the future, where do we want this country to go, to be an innovative country or not. And I'm sorry, but I feel very strong about that.
You see, at some point we'll have to come to say, to call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
To say, if for instance, because I suspect Cheryl is the political face here, Cheryl Karam.
No,
I don't know, I'm just saying. I suspect that is the thing. But I think at some point when we come to the next deliberations, members must be able to be upfront in each name, to state their reservation, so that we also understand. Because you've got motivation for and against here. And also we must not lose the role of the board. You see? The King Commission says, spells out what the role of the board is. We should not also just take engineers and innovators and put them on the board. That's not their space. Their space, some of them, their space is where they've got to do the innovation that we need. You see? But the board's role might not be necessarily be to innovate. When they're in those meetings, they're not dealing with manufacturing an artificial eye. They are basically supervising, managing, and so on. So I think we must be clear in our own minds as well, Comrade Mokal, that what is the role of the board and what we need to achieve, so that we don't conflate these issues same going on. I need just to clarify that, but I want to close, Mr. Mokal, if you can just say one last 6 months. We are 1 hour, 45 minutes ahead of us.
No, Jay, you covered what I wanted to say. Let me leave it to you.
Dr. René Osborne, and other things? Any other thing from your visit? Nuru? PMG? Nothing? Department?
Okay, just shortly, we actually did approach Sasol as one of the major manufacturing and processes entity in South Africa, and all the executives declined and said they didn't have the time to serve on the board. So we did take that into consideration. But the issue of conflict of interest is an important issue when it comes to innovation and starting new businesses. And it's something that our governance is working on as part of the shareholder compact for the board and the forms that the board members have to fill when they sit in every meeting. But I should point out that because TIA is impacting universities and industry and is sitting right in that space, every single person who has interest in innovation is conflicted. So the university profile, those universities benefit from TIA funding, they are in those projects, and we just have to have a tighter process around managing the conflict of interest. But everyone is impacted because it's cutting across the system.
Thank you. Taluga? SB? Tembe? Brilliantly? Prof? Prof. Blanche?
Yes.
Tate Otabat? Miss Rafik? Mokal?
Thank you.
Or whip?
No, there's nothing except to say that, you know, we must not forget that we also need, you know, this political will always cry about. I mean, to have different people who are not necessarily whatever scientists, we need them in this kind of the box, because they understand, you know, the politics around some of the issues. So we need that political will from the point of view to drive, you know, the ministers or the departments to take the right decisions. Thanks.
Thank you. That's love.
Yeah.
You know what, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of this meeting. Thank you very much and enjoy your afternoon.